Your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of James, James chapter 1, and if you're using a pew Bible, James chapter 1 is going to be on page 1011 of your pew Bible. James 11, and so this morning we're talking about do something, and we've got a real easy title, do. Now, if I were to go back in time when I was laying these titles out, I would say do and don't, but you may actually like do better. And so this morning we're going to talk about some things we're supposed to do and some things we're not supposed to do, do and don't. And so think about what's happened this past week. Think about what you've heard in our election situation. So we've got one guy that's been cheated, and he got cheated again yesterday out of these delegates and so forth, and he's going back and he's calling another politician liar, and that other politician's calling him a whiner. And then we've got another two that had a debate, and I love these pictures. They don't look too happy. And so they're talking about each other, and I heard one person say, and you've got to remember, they are friends. They are friends because we're kind of all us about to wonder about that. And then think about North Carolina. I've talked to a lot of folks over the last couple of weeks that are not from North Carolina, and it's interesting how they all want to ask me about our bathrooms, you know. I say they're fine. Our bathrooms are A-okay here, but we've been hearing a lot about HB 2, House Bill 2, and the protests that have happened downtown, and all kinds of folks are not coming to sing for us and so forth. I'm still trying to get past Ringo not coming. You know, but all kinds of folks say, I'm not coming because this HB2. And in the backdrop, we've got the Russian military flying jets past some of our ships out there in the Baltic, and they actually did the same thing with a surveillance aircraft, I think, not all that long, a couple of days ago. And so it's been quite a week. Now, as you are going through your week and I'm going through my week, what are we to do? How can the Bible help us? And so actually this passage that we're looking at this morning, I think is helpful no matter where you may be and no matter what could be happening on your day. It talks about some things that we are to do and some things that we're not to do. So in James chapter 1, let's pick it up in verse 19 and see what the Bible says about things to do and not to do. James 1:19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his closing, in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious, and he does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." So this is what the Bible says. When the Russians are flying jets over our ships out in the Baltic, when people are complaining about HB2, when politicians are saying this and saying that about one another, this is what the Bible says you and I are to do as we go to work, as we interact with family members, as we talk to the community. It's saying, take this wisdom that I'm giving you and use that as you interact with someone else. So the first thing he says to us is quite simply, listen. Listen. So when you think about what you're supposed to do, you and I need to stop and we need to listen. Now think about how that's not happening. We mentioned what's happening politically, and what you have often, if you look at the cable news shows or listen to those, if you talk to people about these various political situations, real quickly it seems like people are talking past one another. People want to get their point of view out. People want to talk about what's in their mind, their opinion, their ideas. And what we tend not to do is to just stop and to listen to what someone else has to say. So our culture says you get your word out, you get your opinion out, you get your thoughts out, and do not be suppressed. But what the Bible says is you listen. And it's like the old wise saying, you know, you got two ears and one mouth. Learn something from that. You know, we need to stop and we need to listen and we need to pay attention even when we may disagree with someone else. Now, the Bible says this in a lot of places. Interesting, in Proverbs 17, it says, even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. So the Bible says, now think about this. Sometimes people talk so much that they let people know that there's not much going on up in their head there. So he says, if you'll just slow down and talk less, people won't know that you're not so smart, you know? People won't know that you don't have anything, you haven't thought through an issue. So it's like it would be wiser just to stop and to listen and to learn and to think a little bit instead of just saying everything that we think. So this proverb says sometimes by talking we acknowledge or we show that we haven't thought about certain issues. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19 that when words are many, transgression is not lacking. So just think about it. Why does a defense attorney not want their client to talk to the police? Because the more you talk, the more likely it is that you're to get into trouble or tell about something that you've done. And the more you and I talk, the more likely it is that we're actually going to commit sin. When words are many, transgression is not lacking. But whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So it's a wise thing to stop, to listen, and to think, and not say everything that comes into our mind. So he's like, you know, in the old days, our moms used to say, you need a filter, Eddie. Don't just say everything that comes out. Filter it, buddy. And actually, this is what the scripture is saying. Put a filter on yourself. Don't say everything that goes into your mind. Number one, you let people know that you're not often smart. Number two, you do things, but you hurt people. You say things that get in the way and impede the growth of the gospel. Now, one of the things that would be good for us to do is to always stop. And before we say something, think, how is this going to impact someone else? What is going to be the likely result of this? And to remember that we're held accountable for the things we say. You know, we have a tendency to say something and say, well, you know, that's just the way I roll, you know. And we tend to roll right over some people sometimes with our words and even some of our actions. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5 to guard your steps. In other words, guard the way you roll. And he says, especially when you go to the house of God. So especially when you're interacting here with God's people. And he says, to draw near to listen is better than to offer the sacrifice of fools. So he says, you know, don't do foolishness. It would be better to listen and to note what other people are saying. Listen and learn. Listen to them even if you disagree with them, even if they have completely different political views or even views about God. Listen to these folks, he says. And then he goes on and he says, for they do not know that they are doing evil. So sometimes we say things and we don't even know what we're doing. We're setting fires, you know, we're hurting people, we're tearing families down, we're tearing relationships up, we're repelling people away from the Lord. So he says sometimes people say things when they should be listening and they don't even know that they're doing evil. So be not rash with your mouth. So don't be quick to speak, as James is saying here. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. Even think about what you're saying to the Lord. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Now, probably every politician needs this, right? And we do have some politicians, as of late, that I think perhaps their campaign committee might have suspended it for a little bit, their Twitter account, you know, or taken their phone away because they're like, buddy, I think this is happening behind the scenes. Buddy, you're shooting yourself in the foot by saying too much, by doing too much. And so for us as well, we need to think and say sometimes our words need to be few. And especially if they're not edifying, and especially if they're not building other people up. So go back to James chapter 1. In verse 19, he says, "Know this, my blood brothers, let every person be quick to hear." So quickly listen and pay attention to what other people say. And then he says, "And be slow to speak." So he's saying right there, have a filter. Stop and think before you speak. How will this impact others? Is this going to advance the cause of Christ? Is this going to build my family up? Is this going to be something the Lord's going to be pleased about? And it's important to think about what Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 12, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words, you will be condemned." So I don't know how this is going to go, but it sounds like the Lord's going to take a videotape and he's going to put up there and say, "All right, you see when you said that? Well, this is what happened because you said that. You see when you wrote this on Facebook? Well, this is what happened because you wrote that on Facebook. You see when you tweeted that or you Instagrammed this? You know, you see this? This is what happened because of that." And so often we say, "Well, you know, I didn't mean it that way. Or I did not intend to harm anyone. Or I did not want to hurt someone." The Lord's like, it's irrelevant. You did it, and you did harm people. You did hurt people. And it's almost like someone that's careless in their driving, you know? They pull out in front of people, and they cause a terrible accident, and they say, "You know, I really didn't mean to do that." Well, it doesn't matter. You're now going to be held accountable. You know, you may be getting a charge, death by motor vehicle. You know, you may be spending a little time in jail. For sure, your insurance is going to go up. You know, for sure, you're going to perhaps lose something financially because of a wrongful death or something else. And so just like when someone is careless with their driving, you were like, "You know, he really didn't mean to harm anyone, but he had to return that text," and we're not really too forgiving of that. He's saying you will stand before the Lord one day and you'll say, "I really didn't mean to harm people," but the Lord's going to say, "But you did. You did. And you should have known because I told you that you were going to have to give an account for the words that you said, for the things that you typed. Every idle word, every careless thing that came out of our mouth." Now, look back at James 1 in verse 19. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear." So be on it when it comes to listening. "And be slow to speak." So you think twice. Maybe you've got to count to 10. I don't know. But be slow to speak or return a text or an email. And then notice he says, "Slow to anger." Because often what happens, someone puts something out on Facebook or someone says something to us and there's a flash of anger and we respond immediately without thinking about the impact. So he says, don't react angrily. Don't react angrily. So be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You may remember this. This is something that happened about, I guess it was 11 years ago in the World Cup, a soccer player. This guy that's headbutting the guy on the right is heading a soccer player, I believe it was from Qatar. And this guy on the left, his name was Zinedine Zidane. I don't know him well because I'm not into soccer. But supposedly he was the best French soccer player that ever was. And so as you look at his life, they talk about, people have written about his life and what a great soccer player he was. And it's kind of like what happened this past week with Kobe Bryant. You know, the guy got older and, you know, he wasn't able to play as much. But in his last days as a soccer player, he really turned it on. And his team, France, was doing quite well in the World Cup. But there's an article out there about him. And in the article, they talk about, have you ever thought about the last act this great soccer player performed? The last act that he engaged in was that act right there. This is his final game in the World Cup. And so what happened was the guy on the right said something, I think, actually about this man's family. And what this man did was he walked up and he headbutted him into his chest, knocked him down. And then they came, they gave him a red card, and he's out of the game. That's his last action as a soccer player. Perhaps the best soccer player France ever had, and he's known for that last act of anger. The person writing this article is saying, isn't it sad that a guy that was so great at soccer, that was so great as a player, but the last thing that's remembered about him is this particular act? And what they were trying to get it out, or what it made me think about, was how anger if we're not careful, can erase a lot of good that we do. You've done a good job rearing your family, and you say something that ought not to be said in anger, and boom, that's what people remember. You try to live out a godly testimony in front of people in your community or in your workplace, and maybe you've done that for years, maybe even decades, and you act out in anger, and that good is erased. And so what he's saying here is, look, you need to listen. And you need to be slow to speak. Be careful about speaking. And he says you need to be slow when you're getting angry. He says this, he's not saying don't get angry, but he says you want to handle that anger properly. Now he also says in verse 20, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So it's like, just be aware of this. We live in a world that's very angry. Politicians are very angry, and it's on display for all of us. But anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Rarely do good things happen as a result of anger. So, when we think about anger, we want to be careful about that and be careful about our words, because if we're not careful, it can lead to something we do not intend for it to lead to. The Bible says over in Proverbs 29, verse 22, a man of wrath stirs up strife. So, if you're going around and you're angry all the time, then what you're doing is you can't help it, but you stir up strife. You know, you bump into people. Your behavior, you know, you tear people down. You hurt people. And it stirs up strife, and it causes much transgression, or you might say much sin. So he's letting us know you can't just give in to your anger. And in fact, he says it does not produce the righteousness of God. So this is the thing. When somebody says something to you about one of our laws, or someone says something to you about Christianity, or something that you have done, and it angers you, be careful, because this passage is saying anger is not producing something that is a good result. James 1 verse 21 says, therefore, so because of all this, that you should listen, and that we should be slow to speak and slow to get angry, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So here's the thing. People say things that upset us. And if you keep thinking about something that someone's done to you, something that someone has said about you, you're going to find yourself becoming angrier and angrier. Your blood pressure is probably going to go up a little bit, probably even going to impact that cholesterol a bit. We do know that people that get angry and stay angry die sooner than those that do not. So just remember that as you're feeding that anger. But as you go along and as we're dealing with this anger, it would be a good idea to take the Word of God and implant that in us. So first thing he says is put away all filthiness. So he's got the connotation of you've got some really dirty clothes, pull those clothes off, put them in the washing machine, and wash them off. And he says take away that rampant wickedness. So that's getting beyond anger. Let's talk about sensuality and other kinds of things, lust. And he says receive with meekness, so humbly realize I need some help. Receive with meekness the implanted word. So often people will say, you know what, I need some anger control training. I need to get rid of this anger, or I need to get rid of this lust or this sensuality. I need to get that out. But it's kind of like what the Lord told us, you know, in Matthew. He says you sweep out the unclean or the unclean thing. And he says if you don't replace it with something good, then something bad is going to come right back out real quickly. So this passage is kind of alluding to that. Rampant wickedness, he says, get that out and receive with meekness the implanted word. So what he's saying to us is you take the word of God and you replace that with anger. So think about that. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and active. So if you're coming back and really, you know, you're angry about something, but you say, hey, I'm going to take the word and I'm going to read that and I'm going to study that instead, and I read something like a soft answer turns away wrath. I read something about like the end of Jonah, where he says, you know, think about these people, Jonah. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. In other words, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're saying. So have a little mercy, a little grace for them. So I read a passage like that, and I let that passage kind of grow in me. I let that passage kind of take me. And this passage here in Hebrews 4 is saying, the Word of God is a two-edged sword. It pierces the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and it's discerning the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So it's kind of like this. You've got a life that's full of weeds, that's full of thorns. So you go and you plow down those weeds, you know. You plow down those thorn bushes, right? But what you do is you plant in their place a healthy plant. So if you plow up a field and you just leave that field there and you don't do anything to it, weeds are going to come back. But if you plant yourself some corn, if you plant yourself some soybeans, then you're more likely to have soybeans and corn. And, you know, you've also got to use your pesticides or de-weed it from time to time. But he's saying here, if you'll take the Word of God and you'll plant that in your heart, it'll help you get this anger and this lust. It'll help you get that out of there. Now look at the last part of that. So he says, if you'll receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. So here's what he's saying. Don't walk around and let your life be filled up with filthiness, with sensuality, with anger. Instead, take the word and implant that in your heart. And he says, if you will do that, it will save your soul. Now, what does that mean? Well, yes, if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you follow Him, it will save you. And one day you'll go to heaven. But He's talking about more than that. He's talking about not just eternal life. He's talking about the life you have here. Let's say this. You're going along and you let every evil thought, you know, you dwell on that, you think on that. And as you interact with your family, you let these evil thoughts grow in your heart and dictate how you deal with them. Well, what's going to happen is someday you're going to come home and the locks are going to be changed or your family's going to be gone. You know, they're going to be like, enough of that fella. I'll tell you what, we'll get away from him or we'll get rid of him. You know, we're not going to put up with all that yelling or all that anger, all that filthiness that he does. One day you wake up and like, voila, your family has kind of left you behind. Now, here's the thing. You're talking to your family in ways you ought not. You're treating them in ways you ought not. And you say, Lord, I don't want to be that way anymore. And you repent. And then you start reading passages like 1 Corinthians 13 about how we're to love them. Or Ephesians chapter 5 or, you know, the book of Colossians about how we treat a spouse, how we treat our children, how we treat our parents. And you begin to implant that in your life. And what you will find is you'll save your family. You'll save your family. You go around and your friends have to walk on eggshells. You know, they've got to be careful. I don't want to say this. I don't want to make him mad, you know, because he'll fly off and all that. One day your friends decide, well, you know, I just don't have time for Eddie. I don't have time to be with him. One day you'll find that, you know, you'll kind of be on your own. You'll be alone. But if you take the Word of God and you implant that in your heart, it'll dictate, it'll change the kinds of friendships that you have. So when you read here and he says, look, if you'll take the Word and you'll implant that in your heart, it'll be able to save your souls. Yes, he's talking about eternal life, but he's also talking about your soul and the kind of life you have here. What he's really getting to is do the Word. You know, sometimes we think, and people will say to me often, you know, well, you'll be proud of me. I went to church yesterday. Well, you know, I'd be prouder with you if you change your cuss words, you know, and get rid of those cuss words a little bit. Or I'd be prouder of you if you would treat people differently. Do the Word is what he's saying here. And he says it in verse 22 straight up, but be doers of the Word. So listen and don't let filthiness overcome you. Instead, you be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. So, a lot of people are pretty proud. Yes, I go to church, you know, once a quarter, you know, or I go to church, you know, and I do this, and I read my Bible, you know, fewer say that, but I read my Bible, you know, once a year or something, you know, and they think, you know, I've done what I'm supposed to do. The Bible says, Jesus says, the guy that's wise, the gal that's wise, has built their life on the rock of Jesus Christ. And if you go back and you read that passage, that parable, Jesus says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them or does them will be like a wise man. So what we have right now especially in the United States, is a lot of people that can probably quote you, a soft answer turns away wrath. But you go up to them and say, you know what? I don't like the way you did their job. And they'll say, well, I don't care. You know, they'll come back real quick and they won't think. Well, they can quote be doers of the word, or they could quote a soft answer turns away wrath. But if they don't do it, they have not built their house, their life, on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not enough to know it. You know, we're spending a lot of time and we're trying to take our kids, and we just had Psalm 139, part of it quoted by Leanne and Sarah. You know, we've got to know that, and we quote a verse every month. We try to learn a verse every month. It's nice to know that, but we've got to do that. And in America today, there's a lot of people that know a lot about the Lord, but they're not really doing it. And it's not getting them anywhere. So he says here, don't just hear, but you and I have got to do. We've got to do. So he says, don't just hear, you know, because if you only hear, you are deceiving yourself. And you think you're better off than you really are. So you can't just come to church and hear and think, I've done it. You've got to go and do the things that we talk about. And then he says in verse 23, if anyone is a hearer of the word and they're not a doer, you know, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and he goes away and he at once forgets. So many of you got up this morning. Some of you got up and you shaved. Some of you got up and you combed your hair. And the point here is, you know, going to church or reading the Bible and saying, okay, soft answer turns away wrath, and then walking away and forgetting that is kind of like a person that looks in the mirror and says, you know, I need to comb that right there. But then they forget when they walk away, or I should shave there. And then they forget, or it wouldn't hurt to wash that mud off or that pudding, you know, wash that off right there. And so we think it would be crazy for someone to look at a mirror and then to walk away and look the same way they did before they looked at that mirror. But he says that's what happens. So he says, no. Look in the mirror of the Word of God and let it take you and change you. And what happens as we go along, we're trying to apply this passage. We're trying to apply that passage. If we're not careful, we'll give up. So he says in verse 25, look, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, so look at the Bible and keep looking at the Bible. He says, and being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So here's the thing. You're not blessed just by going to church. You're not blessed simply by reading the Bible. You've got to read the Bible, and you've got to do the Bible. That's the person that's blessed. Psalm 19 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, receiving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So if you'll read the Bible, it will make you wiser. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. You know, go this way, don't go that way. In keeping them, there is great reward. So if you take this Bible, and you read it, and you do it, you will be rewarded. How will you be rewarded? Well, your family will care about you better. You'll have a better relationship with them. You'll have better friendships. You'll be a better worker. You know, we'll be godly people that are much different if we don't forget the Word. So his point is, don't forget. Do not forget. The one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Jesus, after he washed the feet of Peter and the other disciples, he said, look, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So we want to do that. We want to do that. So the Bible tells us, bridle our tongues. He says to be careful about what we say. That's in verse 26 and verse 27, our verses of the month over the last couple of weeks. If anyone thinks he's religious and he does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Pay attention to that word worthless. So James writes, look, you can say this, you can do this, but if you can't get that tongue under control, your religion is worthless. It means nothing. And he goes on and says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to keep oneself unspotted. And so John 17 says, I've given them your word. This is Jesus speaking. And the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So you are going to be hated from time to time. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. But as you're in this world, we're called upon. He says he executes justice for the fatherless, the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. You and I are called upon to be people that reach out and look for ways to help others and be there for them. So don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive ourselves. This is what God's called us to be. So let's think about this world we live in. It's a crazy place, isn't it? All kinds of craziness is going on when we think about what's happening politically. When we think about our foreign policy situation and think about the scariness that's happening around us. And then we even think about some of what's happening, how the world is upside down. Really? You're upset because we say that a guy needs to go to the guy's bathroom? A girl needs to go to the girl's bathroom? It's an upside down world. And it's a world, if we're not careful, we'll say things that we've not really thought of and we've not really vetted it real well before it comes out of our mouth. The Lord says, be careful about the kinds of things you say. And also he says, be a person that's a doer. Take the word and do the word. He talks about in this last section, thinking about other people, thinking about the sojourner, thinking about the widow, thinking about the orphan. And so at this particular point in history, let's be careful about the things that we say. And let's be people that embody the Word of God, people that do. We don't just talk a good game, we do. We do what the Lord has put us here to do for Him. Father, we thank you for what we've looked at this morning. We ask that you'll help us, Lord, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Help us, Lord, to be the real deal when it comes to how we live our lives. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and really you're like all of us. You feel like, oh me, I can't believe I've said that, or I can't believe I've done that. Father, I ask this morning that you'll forgive me of some of the things I've said. I ask that you'll forgive me of some of the things I've done. Help me, Lord, to be a doer of the word. Help me to be, Lord, more about what you want me to be as I'm here and as I'm living my life. Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, I really need to get the word and implant it in my life. But it's hard for me to do that because I don't have the Lord in my life. I'm not a Christian this morning. Maybe that's the thing you need to do this morning, is ask the Lord into your life. I don't know what you need to pray this morning, but why don't you pray it now? There where you sit, or if you prefer, come to this altar and do it here as Lynn plays. Prayed a prayer of commitment this morning. How about indicating that on your connection card? We'll be remembering you and praying for you. Remember, we'll not be having any activities this afternoon. So we had planned originally to do a D6 weekend this week, but we thought with all the traveling and that a bunch of our people would be doing with the youth stuff down in Greenville, that's just better give you this afternoon off. So just remember that. Remember, though, we'll kick things back into gear on Wednesday. And also next Sunday night, Brother David Trogdon will be here with us. So don't forget that. I'm going to ask Mr. Anthony, if he will, to stand and close us in prayer.